Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Let me start with the way I ended last year. Let's do it again. Bobby. Bobby.
Bobby.
Bobby. Thank you.
So he's doing it to Deo.
The thank
Deo.
You.
That's what he, right?
He's trying to do it, but with Bobby.
That's Barkov.
Yeah.
Trying to get the fans to chant Bobby for Bobrovsky.
The thank you at the end is really what, it's like he's a stand-up comic.
When I think of the all-time.
Thank you. I'll be here all week.
The all-time Barkov. Parade champ chant. It's, for me, Belichick shouting, no days off.
And didn't, like, no one jump in?
Yeah, and he did it, like, 10 times at a parade where everybody is not at work. We're all here.
That's
and
funny.
He's chanting, no days off.
Yeah.
And it was a lot.
Well, by far the worst ever is, do you remember Brett Hull at the 2019 Blues Parade?
I do not.
He wasn't even on that team, by the way, obviously.
Right, he just played for the Blues at one point.
So he was just hanging out.
You know,
and
it's
they let
be...
Brett Hull on the stage, and he chanted something that made, like, no sense at all.
There is nothing more they have to do. So instead of saying, let's go Blues, we're going to say, we went Blues.
We went Blues.
We went Blues. Instead of let's go Blues, we went Blues. And then nobody knew what he was talking about. So, like, everyone in the crowd was like, oh, we went Blues. Like, they kind of cheered him on, but not really.
Yeah, it's tough.
I think Brett Hull was probably wrecked for that also.
That's a tough, tough scene.
Yeah.
We went Blues.
We went Blues. I mean, it kind of makes sense, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Let's go Blues.
We don't have
they
to go
already
anymore.
Go. They already went.
Congratulations on having gone Blues.
Would that be like, you know, Hall at the Blues Parade? I don't know if this happens at other parades where, like, the former players will kind of take part. Wouldn't you fully expect that would happen here, though? Like, Brett Hull gets up on a stage for the Blues Parade. He hadn't played there in 25 years. If the Bills were to win the Super Bowl this year, like, Thurman's getting up in front of that microphone at some point, right? Like, Andre Reed is getting up in front of that microphone, right?
Yes.
Because I don't know if that happens with all these teams. Like, the Panthers don't have Olli Jokinen getting up on the stage, do they?
Luongo, maybe.
Ooh, okay, all right, that might be right. Because actually, I feel like I have seen him hang around there.
Yeah, your alumni get to come back.
Okay.
Do you want to do the thing where we decide if a Bills player is allowed to be at the parade? It's a Wednesday.
Well, there's being at the parade, and then there's speaking at the parade, like Hall did.
Okay, like Kyle Williams. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Who gets what? Former Bill gets to speak at the Super Bowl parade.
Okay.
I mean, I've got time for this. Kyle Williams is a yes.
Kyle Williams, a yes. Thurman is a yes.
Okay.
Andre Reed's a yes. Kelly's a yes.
Vontae Davis.
Well, he passed away.
Okay. Oh, that's true. I forgot. I was just going for the guy that retired.
No,
I forgot
right.
that he passed away.
Yeah, he passed away.
Right,
you were going for
it. I rescind that. In that case, we'll go with Anquan Boldin.
Nah, that's a no. That's a no dog. He's not allowed. Actually, he can't even go to the parade.
LeSean McCoy.
He can attend, but he's not. No, he's not. I don't have time for LeSean McCoy to speak at the parade.
I mean, McCoy. I feel like McCoy, even though he didn't play here that long, and he might be an Eagle first.
Uh-huh.
just the landscape of talking Josh Allen. He's pumping the Bills all the time.
That's right, but like
I feel like McCoy became more of a Bill after leaving.
But there's a lot of good running backs this team has had. They can't all speak. Can Fred? Fred Jackson?
Yes, Fred Jackson, yes.
CJ Spiller. You got to draw the line somewhere. These guys can't talk.
I don't know about drawing the line. Do you know how long do you know how long this parade is going to be when they ultimately win this thing? The
like
parade is going to last
3 hours,
3 weeks. We are not. This parade is. We're going to. They're going
to be the first team ever to have a multi-day parade.
This show is going to go on a float, and the station will broadcast 24 hours as it continues to drive around the city for 3 weeks,
only stopping when we have to get gas during commercial breaks.
Channel Pat Hammer's doing the weather from a float on the parade. The whole city moves into the parade. The parade becomes its own moving city.
Uh-huh.
That's what happens when the Bills ultimately win.
Like, does Lee Evans get – how many of these – you can't have all the drought guys come back.
Takeo Spikes.
I loved Takeo Spikes. He was my favorite player at one point, but I think I have to be a no.
Jordan Poyer.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Fitz.
Yes.
Easily, right?
Yeah.
He's actually, he might have to be number one. There is whether you've earned the right to speak and how good you're going to be at it, right?
Yep.
Fitz is going to be amazing at it on top of, you know.
Maybe.
He's more, you know, he's earned it maybe more even post-Bills career than before.
Maybe the right selection process is go back to all the legends of the game and pick just from that pool.
Sure.
Drew Bledsoe.
He might have. Yeah, I don't know if I could trust Bledsoe up there. He might be the funniest. Like, there's the most potential for fireworks.
Right.
Like, T.O. doesn't get to go up there, right?
How many teams can Brett Hull do that for if he wants to? Apparently the Blues, the Stars.
Well, definitely the Stars. I mean, he won there.
Arizona. Now Utah. If Utah wins.
Asterisk.
If Utah wins a cup, is Brett Hull going there?
No, that's ridiculous.
Okay, all right.
Calgary? He only played 65 games for them, though. What about Detroit? He played 3 seasons for Detroit.
Yeah. He played a lot of years for the Blues.
Man, he played a long time. He played in 05-06? Well, he played 5 games in 05-06, I guess.
803-0550 is our number. Recapping the Sabres press conference from yesterday, one thing I teased, and we'll get to a call here in 1 second. I was thinking about, you know, we know it's not linear, but go back 1 year. 1 year ago, Kevin Adams fired Don Granato. And said, I know what this team needs. He was very bullish about it. Like another moment where Adams is this almost defiant, I know what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then he hired Lindy.
Mm-hmm.
And if Lindy were almost anyone else, wouldn't we say the move was the wrong move? They did not get better. Don Granato's 2 years as coach of the Sabres are their two high points during the drought.
Right.
He has their two highest, like the best results are Granato.
Yeah.
Two of them. Which
one,
is kind
one of them. One of them by far, basically.
91 right? points and then 84 points.
Yeah.
And then they fired that coach. I'm reminded of when they fired Bielsma. Bielsma, the expectation that year was to get 95 points. Bielsma set it on the record, like at NHL.com. Like, we think we could be a 95-point team.
Mm-hmm.
They finished in the 80s. They fired everybody. It becomes Bottrell and Housley, and they go the wrong direction.
Quickly, too.
Right. They fired Bielsma.
There was the 10-game win streak, and then it was
sure.
It was down.
But they fired Bielsma and Murray because this isn't good enough.
Right.
And that was reasonably good. I mean, no, I shouldn't say that. It was... I think they might have had 78 points after an 81-point season. But 2 years out of a full-on tank.
They hadn't finished last.
That's right. They were not finishing last. They
Which
fired
is the standard.
They fired Bielsma and Murray on a season where they thought they'd get to the 90s. This isn't good enough. You're gone. Bottrell comes in. And then, to me, that's like where the cratering begins.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still trying to get out of it. And Granato was the closest they got to getting out of it. And now,
mm-hmm.
you know, Lindy got the job and... You could say a number of things. It's the 13-game losing streak. It's the fact that they don't get saves. I think they need saves. And they can continue to be undone by their goaltending while the GM says, I have all the confidence in the world in a guy that had a bad season
mm-hmm.
and has had like one good 50-game stretch and a guy that's in the AHL.
Right.
All the confidence in the world. You didn't have the confidence in them in April. That was James Reimer's job.
Right.
2 years ago, you didn't have the confidence. How many years back is Craig Anderson? This team finds its way to waiver goalies, bailing them out down the stretch. Levi is a little bit of this too. Mm-hmm. Levi was, sign him. We need him right now.
He played there. Did he not play the seven most important games of the entire playoff drought?
It might be.
Off of, like, he was in his dorm room the week before.
Yeah.
And he just, he graduates basically, or probably did in the summer. He leaves school and it's immediately,
playoff
hey,
race.
You need to play the most important games that we have played in 15 years.
Right, they've been so unprepared in goal, and so, I mean, there it is again yesterday.
Well, how
all
much of
the
that,
confidence in the world?
How much of that is they believed Levi was going to be different? They bet on it. They bet on.
Would you still make that bet?
That he'll be not that he'll be different. I mean, that's already. Like,
right,
ship
right.
sailed on that.
That he would be the rare guy that can jump right to the pros because nobody ever does
right.
that.
Like, he could still be really good, but there was a lot of sample that these guys at this age just don't show up and produce for you. It's like John Gibson was the list of guys over like a decade that had done it.
He's available. And, you want him?
More than maybe the guys that are here, yeah. But that was a long shot. As good as he was, you needed him to be like historically good for his age to be worthy of giving him the number one job, and they just handed it to him. And they built the whole roster around the fact that he was going to do it. So that's the goalie part of it. The coach part of it, I mean, I'll go back even to before they fired Granato, because was it the wrong move to hire Lindy? Like, at that point, it's you're going for an experienced coach. Like, I'm not going to blast them for wanting that. If they had hired Craig Berube instead of Lindy Ruff and they had landed on that, I don't know. Like, I would feel
that's right.
You're trying to do something here.
Right.
You're trying to be relevant. You're trying to get a certain type of coach that I'm not going to blast you for.
Put it this way. If it had just been Seth Appert gets the job instead
then
of Lindy,
that's very different.
People would
to
be
me.
Saying, why did you do this?
That's
it,
very
it,
different.
It got worse.
I agree with that.
But Lindy is kind of there to. You know, insulate that as a guy that has won before.
Yeah, but I'll backtrack even still to after their best season of the drought by far, their verdict was, we can't win this way. And even though Granato was still the coach, maybe it was from him, maybe it was from above him, of, we can't play that way anymore. You know, we can't play run and gun up and down the ice trying to outscore teams. We missed the playoffs by 1 point, but we need to play this way. To get over the hump. And then, what happened? It's gone down since then. It still blows my mind. They haven't even, by the way, truly, I mean, maybe last year you could say that they started to revert back to, you know, let's play a little bit more aggressive and loose and try to score, or you could just say they're bad defensively. But it still blows my mind that their verdict at the end of their best season of the drought was, oh no, you can't win that way. It's crazy.
Yeah.
They were so close. They were almost better than the Panthers. By a point.
And they
by a Hudson-fashioned leg.
And they added a bottom pair defenseman and a fourth liner.
And changed their style dramatically.
Yeah.
Overnight. And it hasn't worked since. So, and that's part of Granato. Like, that's why I have trouble even blaming Granato for points of that final season that he is the coach, because I don't know that they were... That's not when I think of Granato hockey. What do you think of? It's
wide open.
Feel rush. Like don't be afraid to make mistakes and getting players to play their best.
Yeah,
offensively.
They scored on the rush all the time. Yeah,
and all of that has been gone for. Well, it was at least gone for a year and a half. Like last year, it really did start coming back. Right.
Yeah, they scored a bunch last year. Yep. Jerry in Pennsylvania. Hey, Jerry. Good morning.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, so I guess I've got two things, one of which I kind of thought about on the line. The first is, it feels to me like the Sabres are pretty close. Like if you woke up this morning to a very doable Marco Rossi trade, doesn't the conversation seem a little bit more optimistic about them? Like they're pretty close to fielding a playoff roster. And the second thing is, I think like when they say we're taking lessons from the Bills, I think that really hurts them because the Bills, you can draft a first-round player and have him be in the league the next year, and it's the whole, like, draft, develop, re-sign. But, like, with a hockey team, you kind of need to bring in the vets. I mean, you've got people that have been sitting in the minors for, you know, draft plus 3 years doing nothing for your team. Anyways, thank you guys. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Jerry. I wonder how much taking lessons from the Bills is just an effort to stand next to the very good-looking organization. Mm-hmm. We are one in the same. Like, all right, and the Bills got it right, so we'll get it right by learning from them. I wonder how much of that is just, you know, like marketing.
It's a show.
Yeah.
It seems like a show, right? I don't know.
It's funny. Like that's part of what's crazy about this 14-year drought is how many times have they been not that far away? Like a couple players, the right – at least three of the years, saves would have done it. Just saves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a spot that's been rough. I mean, since Allmark left, it's a rotating cast of characters, whether it's your Eric Comrie's, your Carter Hutton. They don't spend a lot at goaltender. They finally got a glimpse of one guy that was consistent. They gave him 5 for 25 right away, quick, bang, mm-hmm. UPL. That's our guy for this amount of money. And Levi is, I don't know, I feel like Levi's a coin toss for me. I have no idea if it's going to work out. He's obviously incredible in the AHL, and you'd like to believe the profile is going to come up here and be a difference maker. That's when I really got excited about them. You know, that run they make last year, or that year where they just missed the playoffs, it was they can score. And what if they got, it's kind of like the Bills conversation, like a real difference maker, a player that rates.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they love to talk about tough to play against and fourth line's important and this and that, but like who wins in the league? Great players. The great players win. And the Sabres have a couple, but they need more. I mean, this isn't exactly breaking news. They need more good players. And
well, they need, to your point, the saves. Like, if you don't have enough great players,
you need saves.
You can get in with saves.
Yeah.
That happens every year in the league where a team makes the playoffs and everyone will show up in April to, like, let's preview the playoffs. This team, they had 98 points, but okay, we just know that was a hot goalie season, right? Like, the team's actually not that. That happens every year in the league. But on this team, it's amazing that they've really never had one of the two. They've never had enough of the great players without the goaltending, or they've never had the goaltending to run it all the way through. So, you know, what feels like the more likely path for them to break the drought? Because I think it's the latter. They have to try for it, but they've got Tage, and they've got Dahlin, and they've got, you know, for now they have Paterka, they have Tuck. Like, they have some good players, and then they have a couple of great players. But I don't think they have enough great players for that to be the driving success for them. Like, I would bet you right now, the more likely way this drought ends is one of their, like, a goalie's going to have a hot season. Because that's typically how it goes. But the odds that it would be one of these two, I think I could totally see it being Levi, but I just don't know if that's going to be 4 years from now or not. And who's got time for that? I got to wait 3-4 years for the kid to do it? That's the thing where I'd like to see them separate that mentality from goalie. Because the patience and the, well, we believe in Samuelson. We believe in these guys taking steps up for us. They have deviated from that a little bit up front, right? They trade for McLeod. They mm-hmm. sign Zucker. Like, there's been a little bit of a shift towards, no, we need guys that can produce right now and can be good for us right now. There has never been a single action that points to that at goaltender, though. Not once. That would be this year saying, I know we paid Luukkonen, but screw it. I need to go get a goalie that's going to help me right now. Right, I don't care about my
here's
commitment.
Here's Jake Allen, 2 years, $5 million.
Sure.
Total. Right. Per. He was under four last year. He probably gets a raise. He's older. Here's 3 years, $5 million. Who cares? We got to make it.
Yeah.
We got to put somebody out there that we can maybe trust if that's, I mean, he's the best guy in
the
free agency.
The most optimistic way I could take it is, why does he talk the way he does about Luukkonen and Levi yesterday? Because if they don't end up with that guy, then they don't want to look like they failed, right?
Yep.
The negative part of it is, well, they just won't even try for a guy. They truly do believe, no, we're good. UPL and Levi. That's going to work.
I want to leave space for, and maybe I'm a sucker for, yeah, I don't think we have any needs. Like, Bean's going to say that going into a draft, and then they draft exactly what we think. You know, well, we love this group. We love this group. And then you're going to draft somebody. So I want to leave space for that where, oh, I'm very confident in these goaltenders if this is who we go into the season with. And then maybe they spend the next month trying to find somebody. And then
that's what I mean. Yeah.
Right. And if it doesn't work out, like, all right, well, I said I was good, and I'm going to be good. But they should be, you know, looking for somebody. 803-0550-1888-550-2550. Who's in tomorrow for me during 100 holes? I'll call.
Sal will be in.
Sal will be in. All right.
And we'll give you a few calls, but Sal will be in tomorrow.
I was driving in this morning thinking I'll already be on the golf course tomorrow to play my 100.
You would have already been out there for... Oh, well, driving in, you would have said.
Driving in, yeah.
Say, at this point, you've been out there for 3 hours.
Yeah. By this, this point, I'm probably a good, like, 25 holes in. So.
What's tomorrow look like? Hot?
It's supposed to be okay. Pop-up showers here and there. Nothing bad.
All right.
Might be a...
high of 80?
Yeah. Be fine.
Yeah, you can manage with that.
I'm a grizzled veteran at this point.
And you don't really count your score, right? You just count birdies?
No, you count your score. It's just you don't, you know.
You're not stock in it.
You're not marking and reading putts
right,
too
yeah.
hard and like, oh, Your Honor, hold on, let me mark and walk around the other. No, you're not going to do that.
No practice swings?
Really?
No. One, maybe?
Yeah.
No?
If that. It is a little bit of a mind game because – every year on the 100 holes, I play pretty well, and I think it's because I don't think about anything. I just go up and like hit the ball.
Is it that you play pretty well, though, or you hit so many shots that...
You remember the good ones?
That there are going to be, you know, what's the right number here? How many really good shots are there going to be for you over 100 holes? They're going to be 150?
It's going to be about 500 shots.
500
roughly,
shots.
Like figure bogey golf.
All right, so you think there's going to be 200 really good shots?
Yeah.
Okay.
And 200.
That's a lot of really good shots for one day.
And
that
200,
you might,
meh. And 100 missed putts from inside 6 feet.
Because I think you're going to feel good. That's what's really happening. Because we all do that, don't we? That we think more about the good. I played a round last week where I topped the ball on the front nine like I hadn't played golf in 10 years. And then I played really well in the back. And I felt good at the end of the day.
What if in the other order it happened? You'd be really upset. You play great
yeah,
on the
right.
front
okay, you're right.
and then fall apart on the back. You think about what might have been.
Mm-hmm.
If you play bad on the front and good on the back, you think, oh, I really saved
yeah, right.
it.
Yeah.
I really turned it around. All I needed was another 18.
See, all that is just in life. No one really cares what you do in the first quarter. It's all about the fourth quarter.
That's right.
Yeah.
803-0550, Jeremy and Joe. Give us a ring if you want. We're hanging out on this sunny Wednesday here on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Happy Wednesday, hump day, summer upon us, approaching free agency in the NHL, approaching the NHL draft as well, which will be tomorrow. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. It's my last day of work for the week,
because
tomorrow, Joe, I got the call once again, 100 holes.
And then recovery day.
And then recovery day, yes. I have come in after before. And then I started to realize, why would I do that?
This is a poor idea.
Why don't I just not do that? Why don't I just take a day off and you know, kind of relax? Joining us on the Western Hotline to talk a little bit about our event, our 100 holes of golf that benefit some great local charities. Simon Bennett, one of the founders of the event. And Simon, is this year 9 or year 10? I don't know how we do anniversaries. The first event was quite a bit ago, and we've grown it quite a bit since.
Yeah. Hi, Jeremy. This is year 10, but we started in 2016, 9 years ago. Yeah, 10th year coming up.
10th year. So year 10, and talk to us about how the whole thing started and what the goal was initially and how things have grown since then.
Yeah, sure. So in 2016, there were just three of us, myself, Max Davis, and Sean Lindstrom. And we decided we were going to play golf all day and raise some money for a local good cause, local charity, and we selected Roswell Park, and really it seemed like a fun thing to do, and you can do some good at the same time, but it certainly seemed to catch on very much with the members at Wanaka Country Club and our friends and family. So we did it again in 2017, and we did it again in 2018, and then the event just grew, and now it's an annual fixture that everyone looks forward to. We get to have a lot of fun, but we get to raise what is now a lot of money for two really good local causes.
Yeah, the cause is the Courage of Carly Fund at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center and the Live Like Luca Kalani Foundation. We are raising money for these two causes that help families, help kids in this area. Simon, let's start with the Courage of Carly Fund. How that was initially the first cause that this was for, what the organization does and how important it is for us to continue to support it.
Yeah, so it's through Roswell Park, as you said, and the Courage of Carly Foundation was named after Carly Collard, who was obviously a patient at Roswell, and I believe she passed away when she was maybe 11 years old, something like 25 years ago now. So her parents, Mr. and Mrs. Collard, found the Courage of Carly Foundation with Roswell Park. Now, it doesn't pay necessarily for treatment and things for the kids, but it, who are going through their chemotherapy and whatever, but it helps support the children, their families, their siblings with events, tries to sort of take the edge off their treatment by maybe doing something fun for them while they're in for treatment, sends them to events, sports days and stuff, might send them to a Sabres game or a Bills game. We also pay for the big annual holiday party every Christmas. And it's not just the kids who are going through the treatment, it's their siblings as well, you know, because they're affected. If a five-year-old has cancer and is having to go through treatment, well, you know, how does their six-year-old, seven-year-old brother or sister cope with it as well? So it supports the whole family and just maybe puts a little smile on their face. And that can really help the treatment take effect and work. So it really is a really cool organization that helps these people, helps these children and families when they need it the most, you know?
Absolutely, right. The Courage of Carly Fund. And then there's also the Luca Kalani Foundation, an organization that is about raising money for kids to give them opportunities to play more sports, to maybe go to camps, to register, to do things they might not normally be able to do. The foundation here is about giving kids opportunities to, you know, excel athletically, you know, whatever those funds might need to go to make those things happen. That's what we're here for.
That's exactly right. Yeah, Luca Kalani was a friend of ours. I know, you know, Bodge and Ashley, Luca's parents are really good friends of both mine and yours, and everybody at Wanaka. Luca passed away in early 2020, and they started the foundation, Live Like Luca, shortly after he passed. But as you said, Live Like Luca benefits and helps children, often underprivileged children, but children who and kids and teenagers who might not otherwise be able to do certain things with scholarships, sports camps, educational programs. So it's really fun that it's really good that we split the money between these two organizations that benefit children in two different ways. The money gets split completely 50-50 between the two. While we're having fun playing golf all day, it's also really good to know that we're doing a lot of good for these organizations and these people.
We start very early tomorrow morning. Simon, what's the number one question you're asked about playing 100 holes in a day? I mean, I think I know what my answer is. Is there a number one question you get?
It might be the timing. It might be how do you feel the next day? How do you do it? How far do you walk as well? We walk 35 miles typically. That's sort of what it is. We walk every step of the way if we can. I mean, we're not going to yell at somebody if they want to ride in a cart for a little bit, but we try to walk every step of the way. I don't know what the number one question is. They're the top ones that come up, I think.
How many pairs of shoes and socks? I mean, it's all personal preference here. That's one of the questions I get. Like, do you change your shoes? Do you change your socks?
I do. I change every round. I like to have my outfits coordinated for each round. Definitely fresh pair of socks, fresh pair of shoes. That makes it a little bit more comfortable when you put your feet into a pair of socks.
What kinds of pair of shoes are you going for? The leather ones, or like are you going for the mesh ones now?
Oh, the mesh. They're almost like sneakers, really. And if you want to wear sneakers, go ahead, wear sneakers.
Yeah.
Right? Just be as comfortable as you want.
Yeah, whatever gets the job done. Well, tomorrow we'll be out there. I'll be calling in a bunch of times to keep everybody updated on the progress. You can donate. We had a lot of people donate to our fundraiser at Wayland. You can, if you just search 100 holes, Roswell Park, you'll go right to a lot of the fundraising pages. I'll tweet out my link as well. And, you know, in terms of the goals, Simon, what the first couple of years, how many years or how much was being raised versus how far has this come now?
The very first year, we raised $7,500, which, you know, it's a nice amount of money, but it's not anything compared to what we do now. Last year, we reached $241,000 on the year, and that took us just shy of $1 million. So when the first donations came in for this year, we passed the $1 million mark since we yeah. started this thing.
Very good.
Yeah, I'd love to get to $250,000 on this year, and I think we're gonna do it.
Very good.
Awesome.
Simon Bennett joining us on the 100 Hole. Simon, see you tomorrow morning, bright and early.
Can't wait, Jeremy. Get a good night's sleep. Thank you.
Will do. So we'll play 100 Holes. And then Friday, Ride for Roswell's this weekend as well. Again, it's fundraiser season. You guys are playing Saturday. in the 11 day.
Tomorrow night.
Friday, I'm off, but I am going to be... You ready for this? This is another step...
Golfing?
No. This is another step in... I think I've reached an age where I get asked to do this now. The Ride for Roswell Celebration of Hope, which is Friday before the ride on Saturday, I'll be on stage introducing teams, kind of celebrating the event. They ride the torch from Roswell to where the ride is. And I think it's on Channel 2.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm on stage with Melissa Holmes and me. Yeah. And I think I'm at like able to host
You're hosting a TV show.
I don't know why they decided that I was the right choice. No, but that'll be great. It'll be great. So it's fundraising season, you know, whether it's the 11 day, the 100 holes, and the ride. I mean, these are all smashed into this time of year, and, you know, making a difference feels good. The 100 holes is one of the best days of the year, one of my favorite days of the year. Tons of fun. It is hard, too. It is.
I was going to say, it's.
Midday.
How sore, in comparison to other things, how sore is the next day?
Actually, I find that the...
Because you're walking 20-something miles?
About 35.
35 miles.
It depends how left and right I hit the ball, which, you know, occasionally...
Right. Really, you're under more pressure to hit good shots because that's less steps.
That's right. But I've had different results in different years. And the number one question I get asked is almost, what time do you start? When do you finish?
Yeah.
But I've had years where I go play 18 the next day, and I've had years where I'm just not going to do that. The most jarring moment is doing that all day. You're tired. You feel fine. Afterwards, we all hang out. We celebrate. We, you know, there's an auction. We raise more money. And then I drive home, and when I have to get out of my vehicle after sitting for 30 minutes for the first time in – however many hours, that's when getting out of the car, like, oh, boy, okie dokie. This might be being old, too.
I'm almost 50.
46.
Almost 50.
I'm not that old.
Happy almost 50 day.
You should just start calling me like a telethon guy. Oh, now you're on TV for you know, charity events. They think you're mature enough to do that.
Telethons.
Little they know.
We still do telethons?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Where?
All over the place.
Like still on like PBS and,
and Channel 2. Yeah, absolutely.
They're doing telethons. Okay.
Yeah.
Shouldn't it be called something else? Because people aren't really... Like when I think of telethon, it's sitting like there with a phone, right?
A textathon?
Yeah. Or I wouldn't be a FaceTime, you know, or whatever. A Zoom-thon, maybe.
Well, anyway, if you're coming out to the Celebration of Hope at UB, I'll be there. And... you know, once you're just everybody's doing the ride. I'm not doing the ride just because of like the 100, you know, ride walking the 100 holes. But family signed up. We'll see. Anyway, it's gonna be a great weekend. The weather looks great for everything. I think might be some pop up showers, but hopefully we can raise a lot of money for a lot of good causes. And thanks in advance to everybody that has already donated. We've raised a lot of money, able to give away a lot of things, raffle off a lot of cool stuff. Have you know, continue to get the prizes out to people that won. So anyway, that's that. All right, 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. I was just going to say to you something. Oh, I know what it was. Care to try on a quick question before we take a call on Matthew Berry, Fantasy Life?
Sure.
Sent on an email that said, the biggest question in fantasy football this year.
Okay.
What was it about? The biggest question in fantasy football.
The biggest question in fantasy football is Travis Hunter.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That was his answer.
Travis Hunter.
How much is he going to play receiver?
Well, I mean, it sounds like every time the coach talks, he's talking about him like he's a receiver first. So, yeah, I probably would go with that assumption that he's going to play offense and trust that. And if he does, then you're just evaluating him, I think, as though he's any other player.
With a slightly higher injury risk?
Yeah, slightly higher. Slightly higher. Or should it be a lot higher?
It probably should
this is part of the figuring out.
It should probably be a lot higher.
How much should... And they're talking... I mean, Liam Cohen, yeah, is his coach...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Speak or what? He said he believes he can play 100% on both. Is that just that we're, you know, we're in the spring? Well, we're not in the spring anymore, but we're before training camp and coaches will talk that way. Because I don't believe he'll play 100% on both sides. I think he'll play 100% on offense and then he'll play some on defense. But I would draft him highly. I would draft him as though that he's going to play a lot on offense. I don't think you trade up that high if you don't plan on him with an offensive-minded coach having him make a huge impact on that side of the ball. So I'd pick him. Honestly, the bigger reason I wouldn't pick him is just because he's going to be the number two. Because they got another dude who's awesome on that offense.
Yep.
Brian Thomas.
Rob in Connecticut. Hey, Rob, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for accepting my call.
Thanks for calling.
I'm doing well. One of the main reasons why I'm calling is to wish you a happy birthday and to let you know that, you know, Mark Twain once said there's two important reasons why we were put on this earth, and that was when we were born and why we were born. And you do one hell of a job on the radio, and that's why you were born. You're a great family man, and your mother would be proud. So happy birthday, and good luck tomorrow. And thank you, Jeremy and Joe and Josh and Owen, for schooling me on the tarantula hawk. I am very grateful that we do not have those in Connecticut because I could not see them coming my way, even if I knew there was tarantula hawk in Connecticut. And also, I want to let you guys know that I bowl on Mondays with the 55 and over league. And come to find out, somebody saw my Buffalo Bills towel and they said, hey, oh, by the way, George Easley's over on the next lane. I said, Easley? And they said, yeah, that's Marcus Easley's grandfather. So I'm bowling with Marcus Easley's grandfather.
Very good.
Yeah. All right, cool.
All right, guys. Well, thank you very much for always making my mornings entertaining. Once again, happy birthday.
Thanks, Rob. Marcus Easley. Marcus Easley might have made the best catch I've ever seen at training camp.
At training camp?
Yeah.
I only remember him for the one moment, which might have been his only catch as a Bill ever, which was that long touchdown against the Jaguars in London that you wouldn't have seen because
left the game early.
It was a bomb, like 60-yard touchdown.
I did leave the game early. Who goes to London to see a game and leaves it early? Me.
That really is crazy.
I left at halftime.
Uh-huh.
I had a good reason. I mean...
What was the reason?
Did you see the first half?
That is not a good reason. That's a terrible reason.
That's a good reason.
They were the drought Bills, and it was the backup quarterback. You should have expected that.
The reason was so my now wife and I could walk 11 miles through London looking for a quality fish fry that would pass the standard. Like, yes, let's have fish and chips.
You could have done that after, couldn't you?
Yes, but she was flying out the next – we were both flying out the next day to different locations. I was going on to Barcelona – and she was going home. Mm-hmm. It was like, all right, it's our last evening together. Mm-hmm. Should we sit here and watch EJ Manuel throw five more picks? Or should we go do something? And then, you know, they let it come back. And I left the game at halftime in London.
I think that's crazy. If you went to an Arsenal game in London and they were down 3-0 in the first half, would you leave?
Well, the difference is, in that game, the clock is running. You know how much time you're going to be there. Uh-huh. Any other sports,
you have an estimate of
also,
how much longer.
It could not be overstated how lame the atmosphere was for that Jacksonville game.
Yeah.
It was also Wembley Stadium, which, you know, it's pretty cool. Yeah, that's on my resume. Leaving a game, an international game at halftime. Hmm. Sorry. What happened? They lost.
You would have just gotten more angry.
I saved myself some trouble.
I do believe there was a phantom penalty that you would have maybe been upset about.
Yep. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. To join us, it's Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.